Audio Service.
And welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for May 2007. This is issue number 266, and I'm Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. The cost of a subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. To Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that is mentioned, or simply log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. You can also sign up to edxn.com and get your DX Audio Service for your computer or your iPod player in stereo. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with our PayPal credit card system, or contact Wayne Heinen at Post Office Box 473-251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251 if you want to pay by check. Well, we got a big issue here to put on, so let's get right to it. Here's Captain Bill Hale flying in from Fort Worth, Texas.
This is the AM Switch.
Well, thanks as always, Fred, and welcome everyone to AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for May 2007. First off, call letter changes. KUPI in Ammon, Idaho on 980 has changed their call to KSPZ. On 1170, WXRP in Hanceville, Alabama has changed to WLYG. 1280 CFYZ in Toronto, Ontario has made the change to CFBN. We'll have more on that a little later. 1380 KFNI Pleasanton, Texas changed to KAJG, but 9 days later changed to KWMF. 1450 WFFX in Meridian, Mississippi has made the change to WYHL. 1470 WHYM in Allentown, Pennsylvania has made the change to WSAN. 1570 WSSA in Morrow, Georgia, their new call WIGO. And finally, WQSN 1660 Kalamazoo, Michigan changed their call sign to WQLR. Some construction permits which have taken to the air over the past month: 740 WMSP Montgomery, Alabama, their CP to increase their nighttime power and relocate the night transmitter to that of the day facility is on the air. WMSP is now U4, 10,000 daytime watts, 233 watts at night. 830 WCRN Worcester, Massachusetts is on with U4, 50,000 watts day and night. 850 KICY Nome, Alaska, their CP for U10, 50,000 watts all hours is on the air. U10 equals a directional antenna during critical hours only. 930 WLVF, Haines City, Florida, the CP for U4, 500 watts during the day, 13 watts at night, adding night operation, is now on. 950 WNZZ, Montgomery, Alabama, their construction permit to relocate their transmitter to the southwest tower of co-owned WMSP 740 and increase their nighttime power is on the air. WNZZ is now 1,000 watts daytime, 45 watts at night, all non-directional. 950 WWJ in Detroit, the CP for 50,000 watts all hours is on with two patterns. They utilize six towers, five during the day, six at night. Both patterns are directed at 354 degrees from their site south of Detroit near Monroe. 1050 KRMY Killeen, Texas, a CP to add nighttime operation as U1, 250 daytime, 5 watts at night, is now on. 1150 CJRC Gatineau, Quebec, their FM on 104.7 MHz is now operating and those stations are simulcasting. 1430 WTMN Gainesville, Florida, a CP to add night operation as U1, 10,000 daytime watts, 45 watts at night, is now on. 1440 KCHE Cherokee, Iowa, the CP to lower their daytime power and add night service is on. They are 390 watts during the day and 29 watts at night, all non-directional. 1450 KIOV Notice, Idaho, reported to be on the air with sports last time, but Frank Aiden of Boise reports they've been on with oldies and an adult contemporary mix. They're 1,000 watts day and night. 1590 WPSN, Honesdale, Pennsylvania, a CP to add night operation as U1, 2,500 watts during the day, 15 watts at night, is now on. And finally, WHJB, Bedford, PA, on 1600, a CP to move to the 277-foot tower of co-owned WBFD 1310, and reduce power to U1, 2,700 watts daytime, 18 watts at night, is all now on the air. Some actions, WMEN Royal Palm Beach, Florida on 640. They're licensed for U4, 7,500 daytime watts, 460 at night. They had a CP for U4, 25,000 day and night. Then they applied to further increase the daytime power to be 50,000 watts during the day. That has been approved by the FCC, but not yet on the air. So their facilities will be U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 25,000 at night. 730 WMTC Van Cleve, Kentucky. CP has been granted to increase their daytime power to become U4, 13,000 watts during the day and 50 watts at night. 990 CJCJ2 in Plaster Rock, New Brunswick. The CRTC has granted the request of Astral Media Radio Atlantic Incorporated to replace CJCJ2 with an FM station. The new station on 91.7 with 50 watts will take over from CJCJ2 by relaying CIKX FM Grand Falls. 1030 WDRU, Wake Forest, North Carolina. CP has been granted to dismantle and relocate one of their towers, thus altering their pattern. The current pattern directs approximately 294,000 watts ERP at 149 degrees, whereas the new pattern will be aimed at 159 degrees with approximately 280,000 watts ERP. WDRU remains D3, 50,000 watts, and that's daytime only directional. On 1070 KATQ, Plentywood, Montana, CP has been granted to add night service as U1, 5,000 watts daytime and 50 watts at night. The actual power applied for was 49.5 watts, but the FCC has rounded it up. 1080 WOAP, Waverly, Michigan, a CP has been granted for a change in city of license from Owosso, Michigan, with D3 50,000 watts daytime only from six towers. The pattern goes due north. 1100 WOMN, Franklinton, Louisiana, a CP has been granted to increase day power and add night facilities, plus move from 1110. WOMN will build two new towers. When built, they will become U4, 50,000 watts during the day and 30 watts at night. Both patterns, although different sizes, are identical in shape, favoring the south-southeast. 1140 KCLE, Cleburne, Texas. The CP has been granted for U4, 5,000 daytime watts, 710 watts at night from the current five-tower site. The new day pattern heads mostly west with minor lobes to the northeast and southeast. The night pattern remains unchanged, heading northwest. 1160 WKTT, Saraland, Alabama. This new station, not yet on the air, had a CP for U2, 15,000 watts daytime, 250 watts directional at night, but then applied for U2, 15,000 watts, 430 watts at night, which now has been granted. 1220 WDYT, Kings Mountain, North Carolina. A CP has been granted for U5, that's directional day only, 25,000 watts during the day and 106 watts at night, increasing their power from 1,000. 1260 KFFF, Boone, Iowa, a license changed from non-commercial educational status to commercial status. 1370 WGIV, Pineville, North Carolina, license for U1, 3,000 daytime watts, 45 watts at night. WGIV had a CP for U1, 20,000 watts daytime, 30 watts at night, along with a change in city of license to Gastonia, North Carolina. They submitted an amendment for U1, 16,000 daytime watts, 45 watts back at Pineville, which now has been accepted, and that former CP has been deleted. 1390 WEGP, Presque Isle, Maine, license for U2, 5,000 day and night. WEGP had a CP for U2 50,000 watts daytime, 10,000 watts at night, but later amended the request for a U2 25,000 daytime, 10,000 at night. The FCC has dismissed the first CP and granted that second request. 1430 KLO, Ogden, Utah, a CP has been granted for a daytime power increase. When operational, KLO will become U4, 16,000 watts during the day and 5,000 at night. 1460 WHIC, Rochester, New York, a CP has been granted for U2, 3,700 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, moving their transmitter site to that of WROC 950. With this action, their former CP for U2, 4,500 daytime watts, 3,000 watts at night, is dismissed. 1460 WJTI, Racine, Wisconsin, a CP has been granted for 350 watts during the day, 49 watts at night, all non-directional. And 1520 WEXY, Wilton Manors, Florida, a CP has been granted to increase their day and night power levels to become U2, 5,000 watts during the day and 800 watts at night. A couple of license cancellations along with deletion of call letters, 900 WDDT in Greenville, Mississippi, and 1320 WKPG, Port Gibson, Mississippi. Here's a log adjustment for those of you who keep your logs up. WPAD 1560 in Paducah, Kentucky, a recent change noted in the FCC database indicates WPAD is licensed for U7, 10,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, and 1,000 watts during the time from sunset at Paducah to sunset at KNZR 1560 in Bakersfield. Just a reminder, U7 is 3 patterns. Grants for new stations on 1070 in Pocomoke City, Maryland. They've been granted U4, 500 daytime watts, 250 watts at night from 3 towers. 2 towers, number 1 and 2, are used to generate a daytime load headed east-northeast, while 2 towers, numbers 1 and 3, are used to generate a nighttime load headed due south. On 1140 in Greenville, Rhode Island, there'll be a new station. It's been granted 27,000 watts during the day, 1,200 watts at night, using 2 patterns from 6 towers, used both day and night. The slender primary daytime lobe is directed south-southeast, with a smaller lobe heading northwest. At night, all of the signal is directed to the southeast. On 1400, a new station has been granted in South Boston, Virginia. They'll have 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. And on 1520, Savannah, Georgia will be enjoying new facilities, U4, 50,000 watts during the day, 700 watts at night, using 6 towers all hours. The patterns, identical in shape but naturally not in size, are directed southeast over the Atlantic Ocean. Well, some odds and ends from here and there reported to have returned to the airwaves, WOAP, Owosso, Michigan, with a religious teaching. WFBS 1280 Berwick, Pennsylvania with sports, and they are parallel WICK 1400. WHWH 1350 Princeton, New Jersey, which had gone silent when its X-band sister station turned 5. And we ask, are they back for good? And KWRD 1470 Henderson, Texas, and WCSS 1490 Amsterdam, New York, both back on. However, now silent, KIYU 910 Galena, Alaska, KTON 940 Belton, Texas, WALE 990 Greenville, Rhode Island, off again. They're on and off, it seems, at will. And off is WCVC 1330 Tallahassee, Florida. Some fines this month, $10,000 for public file rule violations has been assessed to WLBK 1360 DeKalb, Illinois. A $7,000 fine for failing to notify the FCC about changes to their antenna structure ownership and for not operating in accordance with their license assessed to WHNC 890 Henderson, North Carolina. $4,000 fine for unauthorized operation after expiration of license to WQST Forest, Mississippi. $7,000 for failure to timely file a renewal application and unauthorized operation to WDSR Lake City, Florida. And $7,000 for failure to file their renewal application in a timely manner and unauthorized subsequent operation, WTCL 1580, Chattahoochee, Florida. Well, the Greater Toronto Airport Authority, GTAA has engaged Newsroom Productions Incorporated to provide programming, sales, presentation, and technical services and launch a business news station serving Toronto and surrounding areas as of April 9th this year. The station on 1280 will also be streaming their programming at www.cfbnnews.com. They'll replace CFYZ, the current travel information station for Toronto Pearson International Airport. Quoting Steve Shaw, Vice President of Corporate Affairs for GTAA, this is a good move for the GTAA and further enhances the services being offered to travelers and the Toronto community. A large portion of Toronto Pearson's traffic is made up of business travelers, and keeping them up to date on business news and current events is important in today's environment. The owner of CKWX 1130 Vancouver, British Columbia has applied to delete their license for shortwave station CKFX Vancouver. The CRTC has been informed that CKFX is no longer in operation. Well, the FCC has turned 80 years old, preceded by the Federal Radio Commission. President Calvin Coolidge enacted the Radio Act of 1927 on February 23rd. The FRC's primary duty was to solve interference problems. That little note from Radio World Online. Well, thanks to Sean Axelrod, Perry Crable, Bill Dvorak, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, and Dave Schmidt for Tidbits Used this month. Coming up next on the audio service is John Bowker hosting the next chapter of the Travelogue. John?
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks very much, Bill, and hello, everybody. Welcome to the Travelogue. This is the program segment where we lock our radio dials at one frequency and travel right across the country to hear what stations are broadcasting on that particular dial position. In this case, it's 980 on the dial. And today we will begin, and by golly, we're going to end the 980 stations. This is our fourth program segment to get them all in on the audio service. Now, we're going to start in the middle of the country and go all the way out to the Pacific and maybe come back just a little bit, too. We're going to start in Kansas City with a real biggie. In fact, I have to tell you, that 580 station that you heard from Kansas City at the end of the Travelogue last month, that didn't come from here. That came from a very small room in western Ohio lined with sheetrock. That's the only hint I'm going to give you. I didn't put that in. Some editor did that for me. Anyway, let's go to Kansas City now with our dials really at 980 as we begin the May 2007 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
The information you need from the station you trust. In-depth team coverage of the top local news and severe weather emergencies. In-depth team coverage. This is News Radio 980 KMBZ, Kansas City's only 24-hour news source.
I'm Lisa Carter with the 5 o'clock report on News Radio 980 KMBZ.
And as we pick up our recorder and move south, we come to Dardanelle, Arkansas, and they have a station operating with 32 watts at night.
You're listening to Information Radio on AM 980 KCAB, Dardanelle, Russellville, home of Rush Limbaugh. When you need to know, it's KCAB.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Bob Schmidt.
And as we continue south, we find ourselves at another 5,000-watt station in the Arklatex. This is Shreveport.
It's 12:04 in Shreveport. K-O-K-A with B.B. Birdbrain Davis till the big hour at 2 o'clock.
Okay, Birdbrain. As we head west into Texas, we come to one of those few 980 stations that operates with 1,000 watts daytime, 4,000 watts at night. But, just so it isn't a total loss, we get our first and only Spanish lesson for today.
Continuamos con las posiciones 11, 10 y 9, aquí en el fin de semana musical.
KMPQ, AM y FM, Rosenberg, Houston.
Ya son las 11 en punto en la mañana. Buenos días, Houston.
And just in case you missed it, that's KMPQ, AM and FM in Rosenberg, Texas. We're going to give you just a snippet now of a station way out in the western highlands of Texas in Sonora. This station, by the way, signed off just about a year ago now.
The I-10 connection, KHOS AM and FM in Sonora, and KYXX FM in Ozona.
Well, okay, we're going to be skipping a couple of states north now to hear a station operating with 1,000 watts at night in Deadwood, South Dakota, Did you know Deadwood, South Dakota, was only the third city in the United States to approve gambling after Atlantic City and the whole state of Nevada? You never know what you're going to learn here, do you?
News, sports, and weather you can trust. 98 KDSJ, Deadwood.
It is about a half minute past 7 o'clock and 66 degrees currently here at the KDSJ studios. Tonight's weather forecast.
And a couple of states to the southwest from there would take us to Glenwood Springs, Colorado, where KGLN operates with 225 watts at night from right in the middle of the ski resorts.
All oldies all the time. It's 12 o'clock on Garfield County's oldies station. 980 AM, KGLN, Glenwood Springs.
And good afternoon. This is Mike McKibben with KGLN News and Weather.
And if we go south from Colorado, we come into New Mexico, and I have to say, oops. A few minutes ago, I said that the station in Texas was our only Spanish lesson. Wrong, John. We get to Clovis, New Mexico, and they have 172 watts at night, and it's all in Spanish.
Esta es Radio KICA, difundiendo para usted desde Clovis, Nuevo México. Las amas de casa oyendo el radio a esta hora.
And if we go 300 or 400 miles west of there, we come to the newest city on our travelogue this month, a city founded in 1964 with a big splash. They are the ones that moved the original London Bridge from England to Havasu City, Arizona. This station would be a real DX catch. They operate with 49 watts at night.
London Bridge Radio, KFWJ, KBBC, Havasu City, Arizona.
Old man sunshine, listen you. Never tell me dreams come true.
Well, okay, and as we travel west on this month's travelogue, we come to the state of Utah. And about 100 miles from the nearest city is the community of Richfield with a 1,000-watt station at night.
Scores and more on America's premier sports program, Sports Byline, weeknights from 8 till 11 on AM 980. KSVC Richfield, Salina.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson.
Very good, Chuck. We've got to move along, though, because our next stop on the travelogue is in the state of Idaho, and that, for this year, is very special to us, because over Labor Day weekend in 2007, in Boise, that's where the national convention is going to be. So, hey, everybody, make sure you got your travel plans and your reservations lining up, because we have to hear from you by the middle of August if you're going to be attending that convention, and we sure hope you are. We're going to be hearing next from a 5,000-watt station in Ammon, Idaho, which will be very catchable from the convention site in Boise. Here's Ammon.
See you on Thursday, right here on Wall to Wall Sports.
Oh, he's gone and he's never coming back. Wait, there he is. No, that's a horse.
One-on-one sports.
You're listening to One-on-One Sports. It's top of the hour and time for news at KUPI, Ammon, Idaho Falls.
Tim O'Donnell.
Thank you, Tim. We're going to be going now into the state of Nevada, over to the western side, about 50 miles east of Reno. It's the city of Fallon.
With news on the hour, we're KVLV AM, Fallon, Nevada.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. It's definitely off. A planned major Mideast summit in Washington Monday canceled, says ABC's Chuck Taylor.
Now, just to keep you calibrated, that report came from 1998. That's 3 years before 9/11 or any of the unfortunate things that have happened in the last 4 or 5 years. We're going to move now on the travelogue with our dials locked at 980. We're going into Southern California and work our way right up the state.
Ed Dorsey is at the editor's desk. I'm Richard Wall. This is KFWB Los Angeles, Group W, a Westinghouse broadcasting station. KFWB News Time, 3 o'clock.
All news, all the time. This is KFWB. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
64 degrees at 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Burson, and these are the top stories.
And I'd have to classify that as one of the biggies on today's travelogue. 5,000 watts day and night, by the way. Let's move up into the Valley of California.
You're listening to the best music around. At 980 on your AM dial, this is KEAP, Fresno.
Now, that recording was made in 1991, and we revisited the area in 1994.
Radio Networks. You're listening to the G. Gordon Liddy Show on AM 980 KEYQ Fresno at AM 1400 KEYX Visalia. We're the Valley's unforgettable KEY.
I'm Mark Billis. In the news this hour, Georgia's flood death toll is at least 18 now.
And finally, for the Golden State, we come to the very northwest corner, right on the coast of the Pacific Ocean, a 500-watt station at night in the city of Eureka.
This is Rob Armstrong, CBS News. Stay tuned to KINS and the CBS Radio Network for complete news, sports, and information coverage. And for news from across the country and around the world, it's CBS News on the Hour. On the News Authority for the North Coast, KINS 980 Eureka.
Something special, 980 KINS.
CBS News, I'm Mike Stanley.
Now, a few minutes ago when I started the Golden State, I mentioned we had three or perhaps four stations. Well, here's the fourth one, and I'm sorry this is all we've got. Now, I'm particularly sorry that that's all we have from that station, because they operate with 10,000 watts at night, one of the most powerful stations in the United States at 980. And things didn't get a heck of a lot better as we went north for our last U.S. station at 980.
AUTI, KXDD, Yakima's best country. You're in it.
What a great slogan. You're in it. Well, boy, that's a wrap on our U.S. stations. But wait, there's more. Let's head east as we go across the border to the north.
This is CFPL, Radio 98, London.
It's 10 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Bob Collins, News 98. This report for Irene's Bridal and Dress Shop.
And our final stop of the 980 travelogue puts us out at the northeast corner of the Western Hemisphere.
Ici Radio Canada.
CBV 980, Quebec.
And that's a nice note to end on. And that is our presentation of stations operating at 980 kilohertz for the DX Audio Service travelogue. We had 64 stations, if my count is right. It took us 4 months, and I haven't had the nerve to look ahead to 990 to see what we've got there. But whatever it is, we're going to be starting it right here next month. But wait, boys and girls, between now and then, stay tuned. Mark Durenberger is coming to us from a small room in Western Ohio. I can't wait. Tell us about it, Mark.
National Radio Club.
Thanks, John, and yes, indeed, we're going back to the Sheetrock announce booth to continue our interview with Fred and to learn how the DX Audio Service is assembled. Fred, last time we chatted, you were telling us about how you time out the broadcasts. Let's talk now about how you receive the contributions from us editors. Where does all the audio material come from?
Columns come in a number of different ways. A combination of tapes and cassette tapes and reel-to-reel tapes. But nowadays, with the internet, it's easy to make MP3s and email them. So what will happen is, say...
Let's just start with
Bill Hale. Okay, Bill Hale sits down in his home with his audio editor, and he culminates his stack of papers. He takes his computer...
Where does he get his information?
He gets his information from the FCC's press releases and all their data files. Bill is probably one of the most meticulous persons I know, just because he will go through the files, and if he sees a call letter change, he can pretty well, you know, figure out, you know, where this caller change came from, mm-hmm. where that call, you know, like when he says something like, WTTO down in Puerto Rico, that call used to reside in Toledo. Well, 9 times out of 10, none of us are going to know that,
right.
But he knows that stuff real well.
It's amazing because he does such a nice job of relating.
He does. Yeah. And he reads all the different you know, lists and stuff and puts it into order. Now that, to Bill's credit, that takes a lot of time. I mean, if anybody has ever sat down and actually organized the FCC's releases, it takes a lot of time.
Each month.
Every month. So Bill puts all this stuff together on a big paper stack, and if you listen very carefully, sometimes you can hear the papers shuffle there. Sits down and he records his program. Once he gets this program done, he goes back and kind of edits, does a little bit of trim work on it, and then he makes an MP3, and he uploads it to what we call our FTP for all the editors. All the editors send it to one location. That location is actually in a little town called South Lebanon, Ohio. South Lebanon has the distinction of being just around the corner from Kings Island, a big resort spot. So at this server, which is located in South Lebanon, it also mirrors up right here on this computer in front of me. So when somebody uploads their column, it goes down there, which I keep it for safekeeping, and it comes up here, and then I can pull it down and I can place it in the timeline.
So you know when it comes in. You
exactly.
See it on your screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then usually John's column comes in. You send in your columns usually several months in advance, which helps me out eventually because I can kind of get an idea of, okay, let's see. He's doing it on this subject, so I want to come out of your column and do this. So, I mean...
So you spend time relating topics, too,
right.
So they make... Okay, that makes...
Right. And there'll be times when I'll be out here working on some other projects, and I'll be actually be listening to the columns a week before we actually put the show together, just so I can have a little time to kind of think, okay, let's see. John was talking about this. Maybe it'd be kind of cool to put a jingle in, you know, right between, you know... John and Mark, I could put a 980 jingle in there or something.
Let's talk about John. John's been with you for a long time.
Yes, he has. John and I met, and I'm trying to think which convention it was. It probably was the 86 convention and stuff. He came to 87 with both his sons, which was kind of neat that we had here in Lima. And I've known John... probably since, you know, probably 86 or so, perhaps even sooner than that. Sorry, John, I try to remember, go back that much. See, I can remember my wife's anniversary, or our anniversary, but I can't remember when I met John.
That's the right priority.
That's the right balance, and she'll be first to tell you. The John Bowker is a person who really impresses me, because he's a great historian, and... if I ever had a chance to work for a person in broadcasting, John would be the guy. He reminds me of an old GM that I used to work for named Jules, and he was a tough guy to work for because he demanded perfection and he demanded you get it right.
And that's how John's columns come out.
Yeah, they do.
Explain what goes. You know enough about how John does his columns.
John basically has a cassette tape collection, kind of like what you see on the wall here, that is numbered according to the frequency and such, and has all his IDs on there. And he goes through, and the first thing he has to do is go through and time all the different IDs. So now, just to give a DX Audio Service member an idea how this works. Every ID that you hear John play, he's probably listened to that 2 or 3 times to kind of get an idea of how it sounds. Then he sits down and he writes his comments about what he's going to say. Now, when I've seen John do this, this is the amazing spot. He usually dubs off his IDs onto 2 tapes. And if you remember when you were in radio, Mark, you used to come out of one cart machine and go into the next cart machine, and then as that second was playing, you ejected the first and put in your cart tape.
Yep.
He does the same thing with cassettes.
Really?
He does.
So does he record it in real time?
Real time.
My word. He doesn't edit anything together then?
No.
No wonder it flows so well.
I didn't realize that.
I've been to his home, and I've seen his collection, but I never saw him assemble the show.
Yeah, it's very smooth. And, you know, when he gets done with it and uploads it here, maybe I'll go in and edit, you know, out maybe just a little bit of silence, you know, where he says, and now we're going down to Melbourne, Florida. Here's the 980 station. And there's like a half-second silence. Well, I'll just tuck it in a little bit.
Sure.
But that's it. I don't think I've ever edited a Bowker column, you know, that much.
How about Phil?
Phil? What can I say about Phil?
Other than that he lives pretty close to you here.
Like I said, Phil's a great guy. He's an old rock jock and you know, comes up with some fantastic material. He loves the old radio like I do. And what he'll do is typically get a column in from somebody and just do a quick cleanup on it, you know, just kind of making sure he's got the different segments all put together into about 11 minutes or so. Then he voices a intro and he voices an outro, and he sends it to me, and he'll start out with something like, "Hey, Fred, how you doing? This is Phil. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hi, DXers. This is Phil Wayne." And then, of course, I have to go in and edit that out. And then he does his outro, and I have to take that outro and, of course, then replace it at the end of the air checks and stuff. And then I might just, you know, just to be a butthead, I might put a little reverb on him just to see if he notices, you know, as we call it, the WLS reverb.
There you go. So he probably, like the rest of us, probably puts 8, 10, 12, 15 hours a month into the...
Probably.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to you yet, because we know you put a lot more than that in. What is Ken now? Ken is in Chicago. He just moved, did he not?
Ken moved to, I think it's Lockport, Illinois. Ken is a very avid reader, and I'm just, I don't know Ken well enough. You know, I've not been to his house or, you know, worked on him with columns and stuff like that, but Ken impresses me as the kind of guy who... gets off from work and he hits the library and he's constantly researching. When you hear him do a sports column, let's just say, for example, he does the NHL, he's not reading a list. He's actually gone to all those communities' daily newspapers and pulled that information out.
Wow.
So he's done a lot of footwork. I think he's deserving of a few kudos because, I mean, it takes a lot of time to... You know, just think for example, Major League Baseball. How many teams are there? Now, if you have to go down and figure out, okay, who's all the different flagship stations and stuff, plus keep that stuff straight in your head, too. And he also searches out the news about what goes on in radio and such, too.
And the personalities.
Yeah.
And we talked about the musings and what we thought might help that. So those are the major components. Mm-hmm. So now you, hopefully by the 20th of the month, you have all of that stuff together.
Right.
Now you start to work on it, and you've got to...
Right. I've got what I call the raw clips. All these computers that you see in here, you got one sitting right there. That's my one I use for making CDs and ripping CDs and doing CDs. All these are independent. I don't try to do everything on one computer. There's two more computers down there, which are sound editors. One's just nothing but a giant file holding device, which holds all the different music and stuff that I like playing around with. Behind those blank panels is the phone system and the proxy box. Sitting over here is my office machine. There's the wire ready system. There's another file server, and up on that desk over there is Phil's wire ready system. And then you see three more computers sitting down there, which each have a different, you know. So I mean, we've got computers all over the place. We've actually funded Bill Gates.
There you go.
So
how accessible are some? I mean, you do some very sophisticated work here, and there are some programs. I think JAWS might be an example.
JAWS perhaps. And ASAP.
Are they accessible enough? I mean, in the work you do, is it accessible enough that a blind person could assemble the show the way you do?
Some are and some aren't. The person who really could probably answer that better is an editor that used to work for the audio service, Jim Snowbarger.
Yeah.
And he writes a lot of scripts for these programs and knows it a lot better. I do know a lot of blind people that are able to navigate these programs pretty darn well. All this stuff is easily operated by a blind person if you have access to the scripts and you know the different programs.
All right, so now we're trying to create a 92-minute radio show that has to have a break in the middle.
Right.
That's obvious because we're going to turn our tape over, but you also want it to be as close to the end of side one as possible so that when you flip it over, you're right at the beginning of side two. How
right.
do you work that?
Very simply, what we're looking at on the screen here is what they call a timeline. On the left side of the screen, we have 0 seconds, basically the start. And over here on the right, we have a pointer, which tells me right about here that the last bit of audio is at 47 minutes and 42 seconds.
So that's a little long right
that's
now.
It's a little long. Yeah. But those that subscribe to the DX Audio Service over the internet and get the MP3s, they get to hear the full music right here. So what we'll do is we'll take the take and put a timeline up here. Usually it's just a simple marker. It looks like that. Okay, now we know that that point is 47:42. And I'll scoot this back then to a time when it's going to be roughly about 46:30 is about the maximum I can pack on there. Now that tells me exactly how to place things. I know a little bit now on exactly how long it's going to take to do this particular segment. And if you look here, you can see that we have a segment here.
EWJOX in Birmingham, Alabama.
There's Mr. Bill Hale. And as we go through the timeline here, we'll find a couple little pieces of video here, segments here, which are jingles and things. And then we have
the maximum power allowed on this frequency was...
There's Mr. John. And if we go up a little bit further...
Special English was developed nearly 50...
And there's Mr. Durenberger. And then probably this is going to be something, let's see, Fred? Nope, that's the music which goes for the turning over the tape. So you can see exactly how that whole segment was put together.
From beginning to end.
Right.
And then so you create another identical program for the other side that
right.
starts right at the beginning.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have a real good idea now how you assemble the show. Mm-hmm. You get it done. Now it becomes a master, I guess, correct?
Right.
Okay.
We
now what do you do with it?
We come up here and we do a render. We render it out as a WAV file because WAV files are really good quality. And it's rendered out as stereo. So if there's any stereo content, it's stereo. Once we have that stereo WAV file, then two copies are made. One is made into an MP3, which goes onto the web. Another copy is made mixed to mono, which then goes to the cassette.
All right, so now we have a mono copy. I'm sort of tracing this down.
Right.
How do you get it to the cassette? Do you have a master duplicating machine here?
What we do is we run it off the editor in mono, goes from the editor to those DAPs, which are sitting right behind the
That's
the
DRO he was talking about.
Yep, the DRO to 310. Yep.
And that sort of helps keep the volume and the quality fairly level.
It does two things. It keeps the volume constant. And it also, if for some reason, say, there's a lot of bass, it'll trim the bass down and, so it doesn't kind of get blocked out.
Makes it more consistent.
Then it goes into that little Marantz cassette deck over there, which is our master recorder. From that cassette deck, we make our one master tape. That master tape, after it's done, goes over into that unit, which is right behind you with the blue towel over there to keep the cat hair off of it.
That's the duplicator.
We have three kitties here, by the way.
Oh,
which
I saw pictures.
Yep. Right. Yep. There's the two boys up there.
Oh, yeah.
So we got the kitties that kind of guard the audio service here. They help out by making sure that they are in the way every time I put tapes together.
How many can you make at once?
I can make 5 tapes at a time.
Is it high speed?
It's high speed. It takes approximately, by the time I label 5 tapes, stick them in the box, put stamps on them, and put all the necessary information on them. Usually that means in about 3 or 5 seconds, another 5 are going to come out. And then I got to pull those out, put those down, and start labeling them as I put some 5 more blanks in there and hit the button. So, I mean, once I start that process, and I usually do it right after dinner, it takes me pretty much about 4 to 5 hours to get everything done.
To get to do all of the cassettes. And you record on both sides at the same time, do
both,
you not?
Yep, yep. Both
so
sides at the same time.
While it's recording the front side forward, if you will, it's recording the back side backward.
Correct.
So that when you turn it over, it comes out forward.
Right.
Now, I'm also aware that you, out of the goodness of your heart, do a lot of other things for some of the members. You take a lot of phone calls. You're sort of the help desk for people who have a bad cassette, or maybe their cassette isn't there on the day they want it, so you might get a phone call about that, too. Mm-hmm. That's got to also add to your workload.
And those calls, you know, they'll hopefully come in the evening. Because you know, I work a full-time job. I'm out of here in the morning at 6 o'clock usually, and usually get back here about 5:30, sometimes 6, sometimes 7, sometimes 8. Depends.
Sure.
But I'll get in here, and first thing I do is check this telephone right here, extension 1001, and there'll be a little flashing light up here. It'll tell me if I have a message. Hopefully, when I call the person, they leave a message. I can call the person back, and they'll be there. If it's past 9 o'clock at night, usually somebody's not going to really grab me because I get up in the morning early. I usually go to bed about 9:30, sit in bed and watch Discovery Channel, you know, for a while and get a little education.
Your mind is always going, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. I just, you know, I like doing things. I like experimenting. I like, you know, playing around with stuff.
Thoughts from the nonstop mind of Fred Volby. Terrific radio guy, masterful audio editor, excellent engineer, and a great guy. As you could tell, it was a fun interview with someone I'm proud to call my friend. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. I'm not sure where we'll go next month. We have a lot of earlier projects to finish, notably the last Great Big Desert Beverage Report from Utah. But we also need to get started on our Eastern U.S. Round Robin we told you about. And we owe you a column on noise interference. So we'll tackle these one month at a time, as they say, and we'll see you in 30 days. Till then, good listening, DXers.
At this time, please turn over your tape to side two.
And the hits just keep on coming.
WUBE Cincinnati.